that you know where we at. We're going to read in your hearing this morning from Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to do three verses, 9, 10, and 11. How about that? I'll say good morning, everybody. He says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 9, morning. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 9 through 11. Chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. And we look at these verses right here, in verses 9 through 11. We see Paul starts out, as he usually does, with his opening of a letter. Nothing really difficult about it, nothing really fancy about it. And he says these words in verses 9 through 11. He says, what is it about love? What is it about love that's just so important? Because more often than not, we are frequently called to love. We call to love more than not. We call to love because it's not that we have a penance to not love. It's just that we need to be reminded that that's what we are to do. We need to love. And Paul writes to the Philippian church, and he says, love is what is the character of God, and it should be our character as well. And what we understand and find out that over and over as we study the scriptures, that the Bible says that God is love. God is love. So my question to you today is, what is your understanding of love, and how does it affect your life, family, friends, even your own personal life when it comes to your spiritual walk with God? Somebody tell me about love. Can somebody tell me about love and what love is? Why Paul is addressing this congregation about love and how he's encouraging them with love. Somebody tell me what's your experience? What's your definition of love? How are you living out love in your life?
Go ahead. It was called most important.
Definitely.
Well, the first of these is love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Let me read that since she said it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the great and first commandment. The second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because on these two commandments, Jesus said, are hung the whole law and the prophets. These two commandments are hung the whole law and the prophets. It's about love. So tell me about the love that the law and the prophets hang on. What is it about love that Paul is trying to get the Philippian church to understand? Can you tell me? What is he encouraging them in love for? Okay, so tell me about love then, before we get a little bit too far.
Because I love what the message of God's gospel did for my life and what it was doing for my life. And I love God's word so much that I had to just pursue it. But things happen. But I never fell off the track, but it's just that.
Life happens. Mm-hmm.
My love for God was just constantly going because I was going in the wrong direction. And that love, and it hurts when I'm going the direction that I want to go for God, but then I got my family people, they're not going around that, and it kind of pulls the weight, you're more or less pulling weight in your family because nobody's not looking at God's word in the same way.
So in the overall perspective, yeah, tell me about love. Tell me about it.
I see it's the, what he was trying to tell them, to have the love of God in them, not only in them, but to show it amongst the people that they're around. Also live in the love that God put in them so he could send out to people the love of God. And to just show, you know, that his love for God, anything that he do, he wanna please God through the love that he have for him.
I was thinking that the love that we have would make us the salt and the light to people. Other people can see God in us. And when they're down, we help pick them up and just show them the way that we live as Christians before God.
And not only pick them up, but they pick us up.
Because we fall too.
We fall. Mm-hmm.
You had something else?
It's made known in action. And it's not, you know, like in 1 Corinthians, you know, it's not proud, it's not boastful. Just go and do.
So you're telling me that it has nothing to do with an emotion? That's what you're saying?
Yeah,
it's emotional.
So
that's one of the first things that come from emotion.
Does it?
Someone, your feeling to go into that person. You know what I'm saying? Even a person that not lovable, if you feel something that, you know, hey, something about this person, I just love it. You know what I'm saying? That emotion is showing right there.
And also, love determines and helps you how you live your everyday life. You know, and it helps you to like to produce the fruits of righteousness. You want to do the right thing so that you can glorify.
Here Paul comes to the Philippian church and he's encouraging them in love. Anybody ever tell you to pray when you're going through something?
Yes.
Just pray. It isn't that you're not praying, right? They just want to encourage you to pray more and maybe even want to pray with you. Paul's saying right here, love is the most important thing. And not only is it the most important thing, Paul opens this letter with this expression of thanksgiving and joy to the Philippians Christians. He says that his prayer is that love may abound more and more. It's the first thing he says. My prayer is not that you love, not loving at all, but that the love you have might abound more and more and more. He says, I want you to have it, not only for those that are without, but for those that are within as well, because love is the building block for our life of faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other building block that we can start with when it comes to God because it says that God is love. He's love. Let's consider this another way. Think about what love does, just like the sister says, and what does love look like in action? Think about what it does and what it looks like in action. Paul's prayer says that their love would abound more and more. And because your love abounds more and more, what that does is it spurns growth. It spurns growth as far as your Christian life is concerned. It spurns growth because our goal is to continue to grow and become mature in Christ. And love does that. It does that for all of us, but we need to understand, first and foremost, that the way that we love depends on our relationship with God. Because if our relationship with God is not based on love, who is love, then we can't have a relationship based on love with anybody else, right? He says you need to love your neighbor as who? As yourself. Simply put, Paul is saying that we need to love more. We need to continue to love more and more and more. And let that love continue to abound. Let it grow. Let it grow. Sometimes in relationships, people say they love each other. When that love kind of grows a little stagnant, they start to take each other for granted and they do things that don't even look like they love each other no more. Is the love still there? Certainly it is. But it just hasn't grown past that point to where they understand that their maturity is hinged upon that. That their relationship with God is hinged upon the fact that we love one another. And it's a decision that we make. Love is a decision that's made. You know, people talk about falling in love all the time. They do. But I want you to know that love is a choice that's within our control. We choose to love God, Scripture says, because God loved us first. He loved us first. So it's a choice. Love has always been a choice within our control. So to have love that grows and overflows is exactly what he's talking about right here. And love is not just merely a feeling. It's not just merely a feeling that we have for others. But I want you to understand that you can't love without your mind, right? You can't. It's a choice that we make in our minds, and it's also a choice that we make within our consciences, within our hearts, that we are going to love. It's a decision to love God. How? With all of our, with everything you got. And if we give everything we got to God in love, then we won't have any problem giving everything we got to anybody else when it comes to love. But this flesh that we living in, these eyes that we looking out of, we see people and we decide, you know what, I don't think I can love you. And we don't have a good reason for it at all, because we don't even understand love. Because if the shoe was on the other foot, how would you feel? And if God had not loved the world, right? Then where would we be? God so loved the world that he gave his only, that he sacrificed his own self for us. How far are we willing to go with our love as far as sacrifice is concerned for the other, for your fellow man, or for somebody else that you're close to? Or you simply love because you feel it's just a command to do that, and you do it out of a command and not really out of any other ideal that you have. Love overflows not only from our own hearts and minds, it overflows to our neighbors as ourselves. It's a decision to love your neighbor, even if they don't cut your side of the grass right. You know, people walk in, you know, they go around and they're looking for a house to live in, and they go to this neighborhood, and everything is beautiful, everybody's cutting their grass, and the neighborhood looks good, they move in, they don't cut their grass. Ain't no neighbors gonna love them. They're running the neighborhood down, right? Same thing with us. You know, we find ourselves looking at other people, and we say, well, you know what, that person looks like a good person, that person acts like a good person, that person speaks like a good person, and we get to know them, and we can't reciprocate that love. I mean, you think about our relationship with God and how God loves us in spite of who we are, in spite of what we do, in spite of our sin, he still loves us because we love. Isaiah said, listen, I'm no good. I'm no good in front of God. But God loves us. And if we understand the love that God has for us, we will understand the love that we ought to have for one another. And it is a decision. It's a decision to love each other in marriage, because sometimes it can be a little hard, right? But it doesn't take the love away. It's a decision to love our children. Sometimes that gets to be a little bit hard, because sometimes they're living in Mars. And we don't like them. Look, at some point in time, I told my kids, I don't like you. Now, my love was still there, and the reason I told them I didn't like it, because I did love them. And we want the best for our children. We want the best for ourselves. I did not like them. I'm just telling you the truth, right? Because to make a decision to love your children and your wife and your, listen, your neighbor who plays that loud music all hours of the night and you work the night shift, right? It's a decision, listen to me, because a lot of people fall short on this right here. It's a decision to love our parents. A lot of people have walked away from loving their parents. And that's commandment of God as well. Honor your father and your mother in everything. Just because you're 70 doesn't mean you know, right? You got to honor them as long as you're in the house. That's what he's talking about? No, that's not what he's talking about. And I mean, the reality of the situation is that some people push you away, they do. Some people push you away. Because we do the exact same thing when it comes to God. Sometimes we push God away. But does he stop loving us? He doesn't. And we shouldn't stop loving our fellow man, our neighbor, our spouse, our children. Sometimes it's hard. Love is a hard command, isn't it? But it is a choice. I want you to understand that. It's a choice to do so. And failure to do that means that we really don't love God. We don't. Because love is a progressional thing. It allows us to expand and grow in areas that we never thought that we would grow in. To be interested in the things of God more so than the things of man. And to be interested in the assembly of God as his own people. He says, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith, right? So let your love abound for those that are around you in Christ. And keep it growing and keep it going. But he doesn't just simply say that you must love more and let your love abound more and more. Rather, he makes the point that, listen, this is where we sometimes don't understand what we don't understand about love. Love ought to be directed, and it ought to be purposeful, right? So think about, what is the purpose of your love, and where is your love directed? People got their love directed in a whole lot of different places. Oh, I love my car. Is that really love? Love, the love, kind of love that God is talking about, the love that God has put into our hearts, should be directed and purposeful. So we need to think about the fact of how our love is directed. To whom is our love directed? And is there a purpose behind our love? Because some people love it just to get what they want from you. Or they'll tell you that, right? Is that really love? Is it? Not at all. And let me tell you something. You can't. Some people say, you know what? And this is the craziest thing that we ever heard, and we heard all our lives. You know, God told me I got to love you, but I don't have to. Well, why can't you like me? You can't love me if you don't like me, right? Because there's a whole lot of things about me that you will not like. Listen, if you heard my story, you would be like, oh, Brother Cons, oh, Brother God. And if I heard your story, I might be like that as well, right? So why don't you, because we're all in the same boat, right? So why can't you like me and love me from the heart of God? Why can't you do that? Because we got our own things we got to do, right? I got enough going on in this world. I got 160 days, 160 hours in a week, and I can't give you 3 or 4 hours of that time. Can't do that. I love me some me. I love me more than I love you. I love me more than I love God. Paul says, listen, we got to love more. Love's got to be purposeful and directed. And the prayer is that love would grow and overflow. He says two things right there, with knowledge and discernment. By the wisdom from God, love must possess a knowledge of God and Christ pertaining to the things of God. It's not some kind of blanket love or ambiguous love. It's not something that's out there in the air that you say, oh, I just love, and you can't define it or direct it. There's no purpose behind it. Oh, I love you. Yeah. Well, that's the same thing like saying, you know, I love flowers too, but flowers not going to love you back. Right? I love the smell of flowers. I do. What does that mean? What does it actually mean to love somebody?
Rejoices in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and doeth all things. Charity never fails.
For God. And what you've said and what she's read, you know what that tells me? That you cannot separate love from your mind. It's a mindful practice as well. What is mindless love? Anybody ever heard of that? Mindless love. What is that? You cannot love. Love involves the mind, because what happens is it acts in concert with the mind so that we can discern the things of God, who is love. If we don't have any discernment in our love, then how can we say we love as God loves us? There has to be some discernment, all right? And love, it can't be pitted against discernment, because we need wisdom and discernment to know how to act properly and how to show love one to another, because love is not like the world says, is not blind. Love is not blind. How often we've heard that growing up? Oh, love is blind. How can that be? God looked and he saw us. And at the right moment, he sent Jesus Christ. If he was blind to everything that we were seeing, where would the love come from? Where would the love be? Love is not blind. It is not. Love is not foolish. Love is wise and discerning. And love is judicious. It's fair, and it ought to be. Now, we bring that stuff in our own lives where we decide that we want to follow our own hearts. You know, I got so much love in my heart for you. You do? Where's the action at? Where's the action? We talk a good game when it comes to love, and we can write all those cards and we get up at the store and got all that mushy stuff on them, we hand them to somebody. That's superficial. That's nothing to do with love. Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. God didn't just tell us that he loved us. There was action. And there still is action. And Paul says, I want that love. I want that knowledge to continue to grow. And the love that we have for one another should be based on the love of God. Anybody ever tell you you ought to be more loving? What does that mean? Does that mean you don't love at all, or you just hate everybody, or you just got a kind of attitude? Anybody ever tell you that you ought to be loving? We ought to be loving, but we ought to be loving with moral discernment, because he says, love not the things of this world. Love can be directed to the things of the world, but we need that discernment to love not the things of the world. We need the knowledge that comes from God. We don't just love without discernment. We don't just put it out there. Because that's what the world wants. It wants us to love everything and, oh, love everybody, because we just got to get a little kumbaya going. That's not what Paul is talking about right here. Let me tell you what love requires out of all of us. What love requires from each and every one of us is telling each other the hard truth. Now think about that. You tell me the hard truth. Now, I don't want to hear it. But if you love me, you're going to put it on me, right? Yeah, because I'm going to put it on you. I'm going to put it on you, know what I mean? Because I love you, and if I don't love you, I won't do it, right? A parent hates his child if the parent doesn't correct the child. Because correction comes out of what? Bingo. And that's why God corrects us. Because the eternal discernment says that we can't just go on saying we love him and doing what we want to do. More discernment. People try to criticize you all the time because they say that you're not as loving as you want to. But that's what the world wants. But that's not what God says. Because again, love requires, listen to me, doing some things that are hard. I tell my children, I do not like you. And that was hard for me, right? I mean, you know, kids grow up in an environment sometimes where they have the best of things. And they grow up and what do? They kick you in the teeth, right? We have the best of things, the best of blessings in the church when it comes to serving Christ. He's called us out of darkness to his marvelous light, to love. And what do we turn around and do? Kick him in the teeth. Yes, we do. Kick him in the teeth. It's a hard thing. Withdrawing from God and his love. Let me tell you what discernment does for us. It prompts us to do the things that actually are loving. So what does that mean? We don't do the things that we want to do. We do the things that helps someone else, our fellow man, right? We deny ourselves and we love our fellow man. That's a tough ticket because Christianity is a tough ticket when it comes to love, right? It's not what we think love is. It's what love is actually doing for us and with us in our lives. And we can't control anybody else's love for us at all. We ask the question all the time, what do you mean you don't love me? That's usually a situation that you're in a pickle right then, right? What do you mean you don't love me? What does that mean? And you're left in a state of shock, bewilderment, because all the while, you thought that they loved you, but they wasn't acting like they did. And we did this. But love isn't blind. We see exactly what's going on in all of our relationships. And we know what's going on in our relationship with God. And we know full well whether we love God or not, or whether we just saying that. That's what we got to deal with. That's where the rubber meets the road at. We can't just write a ticket out and get one of those cards out of Hobby Lobby to tell God how much we love him. You better get to showing it, right? You better get to living it. We better get to loving God as God has loved us. So let your love abound and let it grow. And let it overflow. And let it overflow to the point to where you are wise in how you push out your love for God, right? Be wise about it. He says, hate the things that are evil. Abhor sin. Hate that. Hate that. You can't. The world loves sin. Love it. And sometimes we get caught up in that love of sin as well, don't we? We do. And that's where the wisdom that love gives us comes from. So we don't have to get caught up in those things. And when we do, we have enough strength from the love that God gives us to come on back. Right? Because sometimes your kids will leave home because they say you don't love them. But you know deep down inside that you do, and after they come to their senses, what do they do? Are you willing to come home? Are you willing to come back home to God because now you've come back to your senses? You've been out here the whole while saying that you love God, living your life and behaving the way you want to live and behave with the premise that I love God, but your heart is far away from it. Got to come on back home. He's talking to Christians here in Philippi. He's not talking to the world. He says, the love that you have for God and for one another, I needed to grow more and more. The love that we have here for each other at 431 Franklin, listen to me. I need you to love me more. I need to love you more. We don't need to be taking it for granted that we just come in, you know, hour, 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours a week, and that's our love for each other and that's it? What is that? That's just accountability, right? That's just putting the check mark on things. But it's about the heart. It's about the Spirit of God. It's about your eternity. Think about that. Think about it. Paul says, this is one of the reasons why I want you to love, right? Verses 10 and 11. So that you may approve what is excellent. Oh, because love is going to bring out the good in you, isn't it? He says, I want you to love so you can approve what is excellent. Let it grow and overflow with knowledge of God and with his ways, so that we'll be able to approve what is excellent, to judge those things that are right and those things that are good. Listen, we need to be able to judge the things that are excellent and holy when it comes to serving God. God is holy. What that means is that we're able to know, because of his judgment, what is excellent. And we know what is excellent, but we don't feel like we can get there. So we settle for the so-and-so, right? We got to come off that. We got to make the right choices spiritually. And that's the only way to move forward to spiritual maturity. And love is going to push you there. Let me ask you this question right here. Can anybody in here that loves your children, can just by you saying that you love your children, can you make them grow? You can't make them grow just by saying you love them? Nah. But you can help them to grow by the love that you have for them, by the action that you show towards them, right? And how do you do that? By bringing them under the admonition of God's word. That's love for them. We can't make nothing grow at all. Nothing. Here's what I want to do. I want to read this for you. Philippians 1. Let me get back to it. I want to show you something here. So every now and then, you'll find me doing this, and this is just that occasion right here. I want to start in verse number 11, and I want to read back up to verse number 10. Watch this. Being filled with the first fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. What's he saying here? Going backwards, and it makes sense even being read backwards, that we fill with the first fruits of righteousness. That means that if we want to have anything that comes from love, love ought to bear fruit, right? Because our love connects us to God. I've never seen a dead branch by itself on the ground with fruit on. Anybody ever seen that? The branch is dead because it's not connected to the vine. That's where the love and nourishment is found, right there, connected to the vine, connected to the love of God. Anytime you find yourself disconnected from that vine, you are not going to bear fruit. Love bears fruit. The fruit of righteousness is what he's saying right here. And you're going to bear that fruit because you're going to understand what is excellent before God, and you're going to do it until the day Christ comes. Love isn't something that you just do today and tomorrow you feel like you're not going to do it. You don't just turn it on and off as we do in some relationships, right? I don't love you no more. What do you mean? What do you mean? Wouldn't that just be stunning? You've got couples that have been married for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, we can't live in the same house no more. What happened? They got away from love. They got away from the fact that God is love. They got away from the fact that they got to love their neighbor as themselves. Because no man ever hated himself, right? Abounding in love, delighting in God. When you abound in love and delight in God, it's going to cause a transformation in your life. Love causes a transformation in your life. And you will be able to discern what is excellent when it comes to serving God. You're going to have the spiritual aptitude to choose the right path. Not every time, right? Because we don't choose it every time because we sin and fall short of God's glory. But we ought to expect to choose the right path every time because the love of God guides us down that path. It takes us there, right? And you're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear the fruit that God desires for you. I'm talking about, listen, picture this in your mind. I'm talking about a fruit explosion. Just coming on up out of you. Can you picture that, Sister Brown?
Yeah. I said, buying your fruit. You should know that.
Correct. I'm talking about a fruitful explosion in the face of this world that they can see the fruit in you and see that it's nothing about the love of God that comes out of you. So much fruit for you. You're sitting on it. It's coming out your jacket. It's coming out. You follow what I'm saying? He says love is going to do that for you. Love is going to produce the fruit of righteousness in you so that we can be excellent before God. And those results only come when we are drawing near to God and abounding in love. We delight in his word. You're going to bear fruit. And you're going to bring glory and praise to God as well. So he says in verse number 11. He says, so that you can be, verse 10, you can approve the things that are excellent because of the love that you have, so that you can be filled with fruits of righteousness because of the love that you have. He says, so that you can do what? You can bring glory and praise to God because of the love that you have. Here's what Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says. We've heard this verse over and over and over again. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What did this person do to have his fruit flourishing? What did he do? What did the psalmist say he did that his fruit might flourish? What did he say? Can you see that? What did he say? He delighted in the law of the Lord. That's what he did. And his fruit was flourishing as a result of that because it resulted in righteousness. Righteousness. Again, here's what I need you to understand, because we think that we can all do it ourselves. The fruit of righteousness is not generated in a human fashion. It doesn't come from us. We can't generate that fruit. It has to come from the love of God. It's divinely generated. And God is doing that work in you. He's producing, he's transforming you and bringing you to a maturity that you don't even know you're there, because too many people find themselves saying they did this and they that in Christ and all. Listen, when you become mature, you won't even know it. And the reason for that is because you're striving for more and more. You want your love to continue to abound more and more in this grace of God. Right? John 15:4, I alluded to that earlier, what John 15:4 says, abide in me, I'm going to abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. And then look what it says. Neither can you. Fruit is not, it's not humanly produced. He says, neither can you. You can't do it either. And the only way you're going to do it is if you abide in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches, right? Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Because apart from me, listen to me, apart from me, what's the phrase? Y'all know it. You can do nothing. Nothing. So Paul says, I want you to grow and abound in love so that you can approve what is excellent, you can be filled with the fruit of righteousness, and that you can praise and glorify God in all that you do because of the love that you have for God. It's a serious indictment. It's something to think about. And it's not anything that you need to be solemn about. You need to be out front about it. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, boy, when you look, when I first met that girl over there, I was just like, oh, I'm like, man, this girl love me. I see me? What? You know, I'm saying, you know, I'm like, and listen, if we're not like that with God, then we've just got too much pride. Because when we look at the love that God has for us, do we really deserve that? No, we did not deserve that. And we don't deserve it now. Don't. And I don't deserve your love, and you don't deserve my love, right? But God calls us to love. And not the superficial stuff that I talk about all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. You can't love nobody that you don't know. A lot of people say, you know, I know God. I know who he is. Okay, then. All right. All right. And you're throwing rocks in your neighbor's window. You're throwing rocks at each other. I mean, think about that. Listen, love is the greatest thing. He says it's the greatest and most important commandment that's in the scripture. And I just want us to consider that as we look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, how Paul says that we ought to abound more and more in love. We have to define what it is, let it be purposeful, let it be directed, and let us love. Let's love one another as we see that great and wonderful day approaching, because it is approaching. And what you gonna do? Mama, you don't love daddy no more? Daddy, you don't love mama no more? What? That does something to a child's mind, right? Love is a mindful thing as well. We have to be mindful of the love that we have for God and for one another. Not just love in word, right? We love in word and in, thank you, word and deed, word and deed. We can easily say, any one of us can stand up here right now and look at all this crowd and say, you know what, I love y'all. But what does that mean to you? I need you to know what it means. When you tell me you love me, I need you to know what it means, right? When I tell you that I love you, I need to know what it means. When we say that we love God, you need to know what it means. Because if you know what it is or what it means, how can you grow? How can you grow it? You can't. You just can't do it. Well, the love that we have for God allows us to enjoy the rich benefits of a relationship with him. The love that we have one for another allows us to enjoy the rich benefits that we enjoy one to another as well. But again, sometimes we take those things for granted, and that's why we have Bible class. That's why we pray. That's why we fellowship. That's why we, whatever it is we do as a community of God's people, that's why we do that. Because the love of God abounds in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our spirit. And we're to continue love with all the strength that we have. I might not be stronger than you, but I can love you with all the strength that I have, right? You might not be stronger than me, but just love with the strength that you have right now. Give it up. And I guarantee you, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. We're going to be transformed. We're going to come to a maturity that is just beyond understanding. It is. You're going to wonder why you're not mad at him no more because of what he did. You're going to wonder why you're not mad at her anymore because of what she did. It's because love does not what? Envy, boast. Here's one. Women like elephants does not keep a record of. Stop right there before I get in trouble. Because women remember everything, everything. They don't forget nothing. And I'm going to tell you right now, young fella, you just got married. You're not going to win one argument with your wife, so don't try to do that. You can't win. Am I right, brother? Look, that's your brother back there. He's been married long. You can't win.
1 year down, haven't done it yet.
All right. Now.
That's not true. You
can
win sometime.
Oh. There we go. Yes, indeed. Hey, listen, thank you all for your open hearts and open minds. And let everything that we do be to the praise and glory of God, because the love that he has for us the love that he's called us to. And not only to love him, but more importantly, to do what? Let me see. Come on, close it out for me. Do what? Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was going to say just to love me. You know. Anybody got anything? Let's do some comments or questions or whatever we might have before we close this out. Yes, sir. You know what mine was? I'm going to tell you why mine was like that. Mine was, God is love. I didn't have to remember everything else because I knew that was right. God is love. And I'm going to tell you why I remembered it. Because every year you had to tell them what a scripture was that you memorized. Remember you used to give them big old oranges and apples and candy canes around Christmas time? I used to rifle that out so I'd get that. That was my scripture. Give me that orange. Give me that fruit. Give me that candy cane. God is love. That's my scripture. But we actually grow, like you said, and we learn that love is all we need. It's purposeful and it's directed, and it helps us to grow. Thank God for his love for each and every one of us, right? That's what I see. Anybody else? Come on, talk to me about love. What does it mean to you? Anybody got anything? All right, we're going to pray. Appreciate y'all. Father, thank you so much for your wisdom and your word. And thank you for your life-saving effort to rescue us from sin and that you sent your darling son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cruel cross of Calvary. We ask that you might allow us, Father, to continue to love you as you've loved us and that we might love one another as well. We pray, Father, that you might forgive us of our sins, allow us to continue to walk in the light with you and your darling son, Jesus Christ, and have fellowship, Father, with you, as well as one with another, as we continue, Father, to live our lives in the face of this world, that he might see you in us and glorify you as a result of that, and we might continue to give glory to you as well as our love continues to grow and that our hearts and minds are transformed, that we might continue to give you the glory and praise that you are so due. We thank you once again, Father, for your Holy Spirit that continues to guide our lives into the truth and allows us, Father, to be guided by your wisdom and your will as well. We thank you for this day. We thank you for every open heart and open mind that was with us on this morning in this class. These and all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Next week, I'm going to read a little bit more, 12 through 26. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 26. All right? Thank you.